Hi, my name is Tom Ball. I'm a research manager in Microsoft Research, and it's my pleasure to welcome today Teddy Syed from University of Calgary in the Department of Computer Science. Teddy is the first entrepreneurial PhD candidate in CS, combining a traditional science-based thesis with an entrepreneurial thesis. And he's done a lot of work on wearables and fashion tech. He's also a fashion designer and technologist with several years of experience in designing and creating wearables. And he's currently technical director for Make Fashion, which is a Calgary-based fashion technology company that hosts runways around the world. So we're really pleased to have Teddy here. He's going to talk about how to bring tech and fashion together, and we're hoping he's going to be here for 3 days, actually through Thursday, visiting with the Make Code team, and we're going to be talking about how we can do bring Make Code and Make Fashion together. Great, Teddy, thanks.
Thanks for the introduction. So obviously I'm Teddy. I'm going to talk a little bit about basically what I call hacking the runway. So using fashion and tech together to basically create pieces and meaningful experiences with fashion tech. This is kind of the first title image that I like to show off quite often, and it's basically the first indigenous piece that we had this last year. So it was the first time a designer who had never worked with tech in terms of her culture. So this is kind of the piece, and I'll explain a little bit more about it later. I kind of wanted to start a little bit about where my thesis started and then where it's kind of going right now. So that's why I kind of have the star, because it's kind of a little crazy. A lot of my earlier work was looking at multi-display environments. So that's when you have a bunch of different displays in a room, how you're sending information across and between the different displays. I'd done a bunch of work in toolkits. So a lot of this stuff was my master's. This was kind of my early PhD, looking at toolkits, how to make APIs, how to make them scalable, things like that. So I call that pre-runway. Then I moved into more hardware and wearables because I got bored with purely software. So I started actually building, watches and phones and things like that, and I'll show you a slide about that after. But I started focusing more on shared experiences. So what I mean by that is the ability to give something away or making it more meaningful interaction with a specific piece of hardware, whether it's a wearable or a phone or clothing. Then kind of had some stuff happen around here that kind of made me pivot a little bit more to the left and actually focus on fashion tech. So I started doing a lot more design, more sewing. So if you think about myself, going from undergrad computer science as basically just UX and programming all the way to now sewing, it's kind of a weird experience, but it's been interesting. So that's kind of a high-level overview of what I have done and kind of where I'm going. So quick little example of stuff that I had done. If it plays, hopefully. Click. Okay. Okay, so this is some of my earlier work, master's up to basically early PhD, where I was looking at taking the Kinect, putting them around the room, combining information from a device such as an iPad or a phone, taking that gyroscopic information, fusing it with the Kinect, so then you know where you are and where you're facing in a room, and then you'd be able to look at a specific display, flick information across displays, between displays, things like that. So it's really, really early stuff. You can tell it's like basically the first Kinect. So I'm taking like orientation and things like that. So that was kind of my earlier work, where I'm looking at how to build an interactive room. So as I mentioned, I started with the room, and then I eventually shrunk down to the body. So there's me, young Teddy, a long time ago. So that little arrow basically is the information from the iPad. And once you connect, then you actually know where you are. So this is like really, really, really early work. I think like 2011, 2012, when the Kinect was basically brand new.
Angry Bird was still a thing.
Huh?
Angry Bird was a thing.
Yeah, as you can tell. Yeah, so that was like my first introduction to comp sci, which is just near and dear to my heart. So that was early master's, undergrad, and a bit of the start of the PhD. This is my more recent work. So this was for Kai last year. I basically built a dual-screen smartwatch. So I took apart a bunch of Android things or Android screens, put in some sensors, and then basically created a new type of watch with two screens. This was the introduction to what I called the shared experience, where you're actually taking a piece of a device and giving it to someone. So that's why I call it shared. And I did a bunch of interaction design things. So I looked at what it meant to take a screen off and putting it on the left versus the right. So for example, if you put it on the left, it's because it's more stable, you're probably easier to type. If it's on the right, it's going to be easier to do more tangible interactions because your wrist moves. So I basically made an entire like operating system on top of Android Wear to look at that kind of thing. And more recently, so I'm presenting this next week, again, kind of the modular aspect, and again, kind of shared experience. So I basically built a phone that you can take apart and lend a piece to someone. I'll play a quick little clip for that. So the idea is you lend your phone typically to everyone every day, but sometimes it's very awkward. You don't want to share the photos on your phone, or you know, maybe it's a kid. So the idea is you have a modular smartphone that can come apart and you can lend to someone. And depending on how you take it apart and the different modes, yeah, it's pretty clever. I think it's pretty clever.
It's like the nesting dolls. How many can you do?
Yeah. So the idea is if it's a kid, you can lend the phone, have information sandboxed. So I'm playing the kid. If you're in the car and need to look at GPS information or a map and you don't want to give your phone away, same kind of idea. And then if you wanted to share with a stranger, then you can give them the smaller piece. So I looked at things like how people shared their device, what apps they were sharing, and things like that. So there's a few key things that were interesting. So depending on the level of trust of someone, if you trusted them more, you would give them a bigger piece. If you trusted them less, you'd give them a smaller piece. So in everyday use, that's if you trust your kid or your wife, you're going to give them the bigger piece. If it's someone on the street, you're going to give them the smaller piece. Yeah. As you can tell, it's kind of clunky, but I did try to make it smaller, but it was basically impossible to do. And then I came up with a number of different modes depending on how you're sharing. So if you just straight detach it, it'll just give you things like access to the phone, Chrome, things that you normally use you don't really care about private information for. If you care about things like lending an app specifically, you can do that. Guest mode, which kind of just makes everything open, full access, screen sharing, and then being able to swap the different modes. Yeah, this was like basically 8 months of work, but yeah, it was fine. Okay, so this is kind of where I got into the fashion stuff. I was stupid and looked at YouTube comments. So obviously some troll was like, this is clunky and looks like shit, basically, and it's a prototype. But that got me thinking. I actually was really good at UX stuff in CompSci and was always really design-oriented, but I never actually thought about the design of a physical thing, and especially in wearables where fashion is very important. So I figured, all right, I'm going to go into fashion and try some things out. Started working on a bunch of projects. I started getting involved in Make Fashion, working on a number of different projects. So my first one is this. So it's basically a bolo tie. You can kind of see them up there. And yeah, there we go. So in pink, so the bolo tie is basically if you're a cowboy, they're usually wearing that little tie. You kind of remember that kind of has a string. So it's basically that with a screen on it. And this was from Seed. I think it was the ReFone at the time. And so I basically put a camera on the back and it looks at the fabric that the person's wearing and then matches the cording pattern on the front. And then the lady basically has a heart sensor. And so whichever one she is most attracted to changes the pattern of the person. So she's with this guy because she's more attracted to this guy than the other two, which is why they're kind of looking awkwardly at him. So yeah, it's basically a smart bolo tie. So it's basically like Tinder, but in a bolo tie. Oh, something happened. No, we're good.
It's coming back.
Okay. Yeah, so this was basically my first sort of exploration into fashion tech right after that watch, where I was like, okay, I actually got to learn this. So you can imagine me finishing that watch, jumping straight into this. And at the time, everything was really busy and crazy, so I was kind of the one helping with dressing them, coordinating them, getting them to walk properly. Stuff I had never done before, basically. And boom, so this happened.
Are you talking about what determines the heart?
Basically just if she beats faster and is more attracted to him.
Taking in certain data and then it's choosing it for her?
Yeah.
Or does she go and self-select?
She can self-select as well, but usually there's a sensor kind of in the band that sort of helps for that. But
cool.
I mean, it's not the most ideal thing. So usually we have, on runways, we have a backup mechanism, which is usually a button. So in case something breaks, you just click it. Okay. It's kind of a secret.
But the heart can change. Like, I've changed my mind.
Go hang out with someone else. So I thought it was pretty cool. But yeah, that was my first sort of start into wearable tech. And I had such a good experience, I figured, you know, maybe I'll actually learn sewing and things like that. So then I actually jumped into this piece, which is called La Bella Fioritura, which means the beautiful bloom. It's version one, because I'll explain version two in a bit. So the idea was, I was trying to do a piece that was expressive in the sense that, because it was around spring that we had done the show, I wanted something to bloom. So I wanted flowers to bloom, I wanted the wings to bloom. That was kind of the idea, so that's why there's sort of flowers on the back that kind of bloom. And I hadn't really done a lot of work in robotics and mechanism kind of things, so this was sort of the first experiment in it. I had wanted to build something that sort of actually bloomed, like mechanically, but it was basically impossible in Calgary because there's just nobody doing any of that stuff. So eventually, I went to Shenzhen, Maker Faire, last year, and we did a show there. And that was where I decided, okay, this place is crazy. They have a lot of tech stuff. Maybe I'll have to try and build the wings here. So I did, at MakeBlock. So this is kind of a crazy story, and this is actually kind of what really motivated that left turn in my thesis. So this engineer's name is Dolphin. So she is basically a fangirl of Make Fashion and fashion tech. She's an engineer in MakeBlock. So when he first came in the morning on a Wednesday,
they do all kind of robots.
Robotic STEM, basically.
Oh, yeah, so it's STEM focused.
Yeah, STEM focused.
Okay.
So robots for STEM.
Robots for STEM.
Okay. So they have a lot of products that are sort of STEM focused and robotics. And I showed up there with Shannon, who runs Make Fashion, and we're like, maybe we can build the wings here.
Mid-eye robots.
You've probably seen them.
Yeah.
The blue rods. They have a lot of products like that. So, you know, we were going to do a show on Saturday. So we showed up there on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Or Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday. I was like, hey, guys, do you want to build robotic wings? So I sketched it out on Tuesday morning, and we showed up, Tuesday morning at 9:30. I sketched it. 10:30, we're at MakeBlock office. Like, hey, guys, do you want to build robotic wings? And they're like, sure. Let me go ask the team. So they send a person up back to the team, and out comes Dolphin and Kakao, I think his name is. And Dolphin is a huge fangirl of fashion tech. She's only ever done engineering in MakeBlock, so she's never really done any fashion stuff, and she has a fashion background. So for her, it was like, hell yeah, let's do this. So over the course of that day, basically, we built two fully robotic wings that bloomed. And it was basically the most epic experience of my life thus far. I can kind of show you what they look like next. So let's see if this plays. Yeah. As ugly as it is, this is like probably one of my favorite things I have ever worked on, just because, yeah. So this is an example of an engineering STEM-focused company doing really well, but not actually focused on design up until this point. So they had never thought of their product in terms of fashion or design up until basically this point. So the cool thing about working on this was, I'm working in MakeBlock office in China, which was in and of itself a crazy experience. And I was working there during the week of a typhoon. So as the days went on, the storms got worse, which was kind of crazy. So you're like working up there in the office and you just see like people blowing by or like things blowing by. And you know people are holding their umbrellas and they're facing the wrong way basically because of the wind. But the cool thing here was Dolphin. That's a key part of the story. So as I mentioned, Dolphin was an engineer. She hadn't really been exposed to too much in fashion in the company that she was in. And through this experience, basically, we sort of changed their company. So it was the first time I had worked in that kind of environment where men and women were kind of segregated in the sense that women were working on the easier stuff and the men were working on the harder stuff. And so I came there, and you know, she was the only one that really spoke English very well or reasonably enough that I could communicate with. And most of the males didn't really speak Chinese or English at all. So it was very hard for me to communicate what the heck that we needed to do. So I told her to come work by me that day because it was kind of split. And basically by the end of the day, I had totally destroyed their, you know, male-female dynamic in terms of how they worked. By the end of the day, everyone was trying this on. All the males and females were basically working together. It just completely destroyed their mentality of what a Chinese, traditional Chinese workplace should be, which is the really cool part. So that's the fun part. Now, next, we did a show for Maker Faire in something called, I forget the name. But basically, it's in front of this crazy beached or docked ship that they turned into a hotel. And it was insane, and it looked really, really nice. Here's a shot of the crowd. Okay. So I worked on a few pieces for that show. This one is a traditional Hutterite dress that has been transformed with fashion tech. So designer Kelly is a Hutterite, or was a former Hutterite. And because he's gay, he was basically kicked out of his colony. So he's basically brought himself up to now to be a pretty epic fashion tech designer, I think. So this was kind of one of his experiments of combining the traditional Hutterite dress with fashion. So there's lights underneath that kind of like flame up as she walks, very similar to the Hunger Games. So that was his piece. Next is a traditional wedding dress, kind of similar to before, with the flames coming up underneath. This was interesting because we had to figure out how to actually make a fire dress, basically. So the way it works is we have a belt underneath with LED strips coming down. And this is also my first experiment with power, and one of the issues with power in fashion tech is that it's very hard to basically produce lights on a dress. First off, you have to diffuse it so it actually looks really nice, and you're not just seeing LED strips. Next being power, obviously, having to power a number of strips. The original design had, I think, 12 strips, but because of power issues, you can't do that and end up being 6. The other crazy thing too about this was it didn't really work up until she walked, and even then it was kind of iffy. So this was my first time actually soldering on a girl kind of naked. So this was supposed to be working and it didn't work, and then we're just like, okay, I'm gonna solder. Just be calm. If you're hurt, it's fine. So you're soldering on her to get it to work, and at this point I'm like, man, there has to be a better way of doing this. And this happens all the time where things kind of don't work. But that was my first exposure to a lot of things that don't work. All right, so the next one is Dolphin. So this is Dolphin. So if you remember before, I showed you her as an engineer. This is her as a model. Now, the crazy thing here is, you know, when we first came on that Wednesday, she was all, you know, engineering, didn't really think of herself in a feminine manner. Friday, we needed another model. So we had 13 pieces and 12 models. So 13th piece was this piece that I had showed you before, which was mine. And so we asked her to model this piece, and she was like, hell no, I'm not a model. And so me and Shannon eventually convinced her to actually model the piece. Took some time. We taught her how to walk. And then she goes up on stage, and she just kills it. She's basically the best model by the end of the thing. She gets loudest applause, is probably the most proud. Like, she's super proud there, I think, right? So she's basically shown off her femininity through the piece. And the next day after she had done the show, she had wrote equivalently saying, you know, for 26 years of my life, I have been a male in this environment, and now I want to be female again. Right? So it actually changed her life. She now is way more feminine than she was before. She's a much more stronger woman. And for me, you know, seeing her, that change was actually pretty powerful in terms of what you can actually do with tech and fashion. So basically that left turn in my sort of thesis was basically because of this story. So now into post-runway. So because of that, I started looking a lot more into what I call haute tech couture. So haute tech is a term from, I think, in Paris or French a long time ago. Basically just means one-off sort of fashion that's very expensive and high-end. So with tech, you're basically taking that same concept and doing one-off expensive concepts with tech. So this one is from Asta Rose, who I think you guys might be familiar with, the printing dress, and then Anouk Whipwreck with the spider dress. Those are two of the most common things.
It's in here.
This one?
In this building.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I will check it out then. It's really cool, though. I mean, and the thing I really like about this stuff is that it's, even though it's just pieces that I've kind of shown, it's each one is just kind of a step forward in wearable tech, right? You're solving issues like power, where to place batteries, fabrics, and things like that. So as I mentioned before, I'm a part of Make Fashion, and I'm one of the technical directors as well as the head engineer. And so we basically have 60 designers and engineers all around the globe, and we do fashion tech shows basically everywhere. So I'll show you a few examples of interesting pieces this last year that I had either seen or been exposed to. So this one is the dream dress. And so the idea is the dress basically reflects the dreams of someone. So she has a little headset up top. And so it records the wearer's dreams in a loose term. And then it reflects it in lights on the front. So it's very, very cool, I think. This one is one of my favorite ones. We call this the drone dress. And basically the drone is attached to the back of the piece from the left and the right. And as she walks, basically the drone will hold the back of it up. So here's a shot of it on the runway, which is pretty epic. So it has some cameras on top, and then it basically tracks the runway lights as it goes. So it uses computer vision to basically keep going down the runway. Now, one of the issues here is that you was using Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, and in a runway environment, the Wi-Fi and Bluetooth are basically nope. So it basically stopped working not that far off the shot. But the thing is, it looks really nice, and it gets the point across. So,
what are the cables?
It's holding
the... These?
No, the cables on the dress.
Oh, it's just the fabric that holds the drone in place. So when she walks, and it keeps the sort of the bloom aspect.
Oh, I think he means the green.
Yeah.
Oh, the green. That's actually just part of the. I think I have before. Hopefully, so these.
Yeah.
Oh, these are just part of the design of the. The
they look a little bit like Ethernet cables.
Yeah, actually, I can see that. So this one, they were using a bit of recycled material and then some lights underneath. So yeah, and there's a lot of stuff around using recycled materials in fashion tech. So this is kind of what they're playing with.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah. So as I mentioned before, I view haute tech couture as a step forward in solving some of the challenges in wearable tech, basically, to make it more practical. So I don't know how practical a drone would be following a piece, but the idea of a drone following something on clothing actually makes more sense, right? Or in the case of the dream dress, maybe it's maybe something else that would be recording a dream and then somehow reflect on your clothing. So maybe not in that fashion, but in a way that it might you know, make something more meaningful. For example, if someone is ill and they have really bad dreams, the next day they wake up, someone can tell that they had a bad dream through the expression of the clothing. Okay. So now I'm going to kind of talk a little bit about my inspiration these days for some of the stuff that I'm doing. So these two girls, Lauren and Ashley, are, I want to say 13 or 14. They are basically probably the smartest kids I have ever seen or mentored. They probably teach me more than I teach them. They're really involved into fashion tech and anything around wearable tech and STEM. So they have learned basically STEM and STEAM concepts through fashion tech. So do a lot of different programming, a lot of different soldering, a lot of different things like that. So they actually had a piece this year. So these are the two. So these are them on the runway. So they're designers, the engineers, they're female, they're models. They're basically the ideal situation of what kids should be growing up these days, especially if you're female. So these are the two pieces they worked on. This one, I don't remember the name of it, but she basically grew a bioorganic material, which is up here in her kitchen, in her fridge. And then hooked up a bunch of electrodes to it. And so once you put power to it, it actually lights up. Yeah, it's crazy. So you basically built this whole bioorganic system for a piece, which is just unbelievable. And Ashley, I believe, yes. She was experimenting with different types of fabric and clothing. So yeah, and she also grew part of the bag as well. So this is an example of kids who are really engaged in STEAM concepts, using fashion to express a bunch of different things about themselves, and learning a lot about stuff they've never done before. And I think this is why fashion tech is actually really important. Another example is the Table 6 girls on the left and their piece on the right. So they did a lot of work around heart sensors as well. So these girls are basically not any, they're not technical at all. They're literally fashion students. So we brought them in 2 months before the show. We taught them about 3D printing. We taught them about soldering and electronics and basic programming. So we'd give them basic programming templates. They would change the variable at the top, and they would learn how to change colors and things like that. So we learned about RGB, hex, loops, you know, variables, stuff like that. They had never been exposed to it. By the end, at their school, they were the only ones using laser cutting, and their laser cutter had never been used for 15 years and was a really expensive laser cutter. So the fashion students are now using tech, using laser cutters that haven't been used in their school by anybody to do fashion tech. And so this is an example of some of their work. So this is basically an example of, you know, using fashion tech for women in STEM, and changing how they use tech in general. And as I mentioned before, this is the indigenous piece. So this is Angel. This is her piece. It's called The Matriarch Speaks. So it's an example of culture now in fashion tech, right? Where she had never been really exposed to anything in fashion tech. So she'd never done any soldering, never really thought about lights or programming or anything like that. Now we're using fashion based to express a part of her piece. Now the piece represents, from what I remember, trying to remember what it's about. It's about women in before they get married in the native culture. They have a specific piece that they wear, and they have a specific dance. So we basically enhanced that with fashion tech. So we did a few types of techniques with 3D printing. So under each one is an LED strip with fiber optics and a diffuser. And so the way that diffusers works, it basically makes the light really, really nice for when it comes down on the strip. And this is what it looks like on the runway. So as she walks down the runway, basically it does a little nice pattern with an accelerometer. So she walks and it does a really nice sort of fade down. So yeah, this is basically one of my favorite pieces because we learned a lot about 3D printing and fabrics that I had never even done before. One of the cool things too is we came up with a fashion tech board, and from observing her and her techniques in beading, we actually came up with a different way. Came up with a different way of actually putting in wires into a board. So she was always wiring things like that, and we thought maybe that would be a good way to actually prevent breaking with boards. So I'll send this around after. But it was a really neat way to see how culture can actually influence the tech at a fundamental level, whether it's a board or programming or the actual design of 3D printed parts. So this was an example of now disability becoming a superpower. And what I mean by superpower is, this is Nadine. So she basically has one working limb and everything else doesn't really work. However, we're using prosthetics to basically make her something else, something different. which is kind of crazy. So the first time I saw her at a fashion show, she was actually my favorite model because she walked with so much confidence compared to every other model I had seen. It was just mind-boggling. And when you look at her now, you don't see anyone with a disability. You see someone who's proud to be who she is because of fashion and tech. And I think this is why it's important. And usually we're just doing really basic things with her, whether it's just lights or certain patterns, or integrating, you know, fiber optics into her hair.
So there's prosthetic. She's wearing prosthetics on the bottom. And you've wrapped it, or I mean, what's the technique?
No, these are 3D printed prosthetics with lights.
Lights inside.
Yeah.
Wow.
You can't see it in the other one because I didn't have a good picture, but she has it as well in the bottom of the white dress.
Yeah.
But like you see her basically before, and then after with the fashion tech, it's a crazy transformation of personality and everything. And so that's what I mean by giving her superpowers, that she's now way more confident than she ever was before. You might have seen this one before. This one is called Gamer Girls. This is a really cool story. This is three females. One of them is a designer and two of them are engineers. The one common thing between them is they both like gaming. So they came up with a piece where each one is a screen and each one can play with each other. So they're playing like asteroids against each other. So this becomes basically a giant little screen. It's two player. So I'm looking at the one piece and I'm controlling it, and she's looking at me controlling the other one. So an expression of, you know, two females with different backgrounds using fashion tech to basically tell a different story. And this is why it's really cool with fashion tech, is you're usually telling a story with the tech, and it's not the other way around. So this is another piece by Dolphin, actually. For now, we're going back to Dolphin. So I went back again in February to work on this board, and I was invited back to work at a hackathon at MakeBlock. And so, you know, the first time I run into her in February, she was completely different than the time I had met her before. I was like, damn, girl, what happened to you? And she's like, well, it's because of fashion tech and you guys. So I worked with her over 3 days at MakeBlock, and you know, before I was the one pushing stuff, now it's just her sort of dragging me along. And I'm just giving them a bunch of advice on, you know, where to put batteries and lights, but eventually we ended up doing this piece here, which was shot in Calgary. And it was just seeing the transformation in her was pretty crazy. This is the piece I came up with.
Is that a green screen?
No, that's actually in Lake Louise, because I'm from Calgary, so.
Wow.
This is Lake Louise.
Lake Louise. Yep.
Yeah.
In the winter.
Wow.
She's very cold. You can't tell from this picture, but yeah. But yeah. Yeah, so this is an example of now Dolphin. She was first just an engineer, then she became a model, then designer, and now she's full-on fashion tech in her company. She's leading them now in the Women in STEM charge in her company. She gave a 3-minute speech that made everybody cry at her company when I was there, and even I was crying a little bit, but yeah. So that's sort of the full story of Dolphin now and where she is, and that's kind of what's motivated me a lot to do the fashion tech stuff. Okay, so with how tech couture and fashion tech, there's a few things that I think are actually pretty important to me. The ability to teach and inspire people through technology, you've kind of seen that with Lauren and Ashley, with Dolphin, with a lot of the other designers. Each experiment becomes a learning experience, so each one you do becomes better and better and better. And I didn't show examples of my work after the first piece, but they're much, much different than what I had started with, just because I've learned a lot more. It's empowered and encouraged people cross-culturally, especially in the case of Angel with her piece. Now she knows stuff about tech, 3D printing. She's doing crazy stuff now just using her culture and the native stuff. And as well, disabilities can actually become superpowers, as you've seen with Nadine. So now, after this point, I have worked on a bunch of pieces. I've done a bunch of shows. You know, I'm fairly familiar with tech now, so I actually want to do some research and actually solve some of these problems. So we did a show, Maker Faire Chion, in the summer. So I looked at basically doing a 1-month-long fashion tech workshop with 7 designers and a runway show. So that's over a 1-month period, so it was a bit of work to do, especially in China and in Chion, which is very, very hot. It was like 45 plus most of the time. So you're just cooking in a workshop, working on your tech. And one of the things, too, I was looking at was actually creating a board. So as I mentioned before, one of the main issues with a lot of the fashion tech stuff is power and lights. So we worked on creating a fashion tech board specifically that was around power and lights. So powering as many lights as you can in an easy manner, which is the point of this Make Fashion board. So I wanted to do this workshop around understanding some of the problems and seeing if a board like this could actually solve some of the problems. So this is some of the shots of the workshop. So we had 7 designers. We're teaching them how to code. They're using different fabrics. Some of them did things around recyclable material. Some of them do things around this crazy reflective material. We shine a light at it, and it just really bounces off and diffuses really nicely. So none of these females had ever seen anything related to tech at all before, so this was their first exposure. So it was a really good chance to see what some of the challenges are with people who haven't coded before, and how fashion can sort of integrate into that. I think earlier I mentioned power. I always mention power because this is crazy. This is kind of a crazy thought, but she had like 14 LED strips, and she was asking like, why couldn't this work? And I'm like, because this is not how things work. But I tried to get it to work, and eventually we did. I did a bunch of tricks with the board and power to get it to work. But this is an example of a designer coming up with a concept and saying, why doesn't this work? And you're telling them power doesn't work, but it just...
The 20-pound battery.
Yeah. I'm like, do you want them all on at the same time? And it's like, yes. I'm like, no, we can't do this. So it took 2 hours for me to explain to her why you couldn't do that. Eventually we settled on doing something like this, where there's light strips going around. This is the product shot, sorry. You'll see the pattern come across. And eventually I got that to work. Look at the mess. It's just a mess. But getting to that point and explaining to them the challenges was just a nightmare, especially with things like the connectors not working half the time. And in the case of these would actually rip on the fabric. So stuff that we're normally used to with tech and a lot of the prototyping stuff doesn't necessarily work really well with a lot of this. Even with the strips, gluing them is fine, but what you want to really do is sew them in, right? So, and this is kind of the final shot. It's called Meteor. She was just inspired by a meteor she saw one day, and she wanted a piece that was around that. So yeah, in addition to the one-month-long tech review I did, or the workshop, I did basically a tech review of the last 5 years' worth of tech piece, or fashion tech pieces. And then I did some interviews with designers and engineers. We had 5 years' worth of pieces, so I looked at what the techs they were using, so things like Arduino, what types of connectors, so some of them you saw, what types of wires they were using. I looked at the Adafruit stuff and the LilyPad and why things like that didn't work. With the case of the LilyPad, because it's conductive thread isn't good at all for wearable tech. It's fine for like prototyping, but once you put it on a runway and someone is walking with it, it'll break. If someone heats up, it'll break. So it doesn't really work very well. And in the case of fashion tech, because you're doing shows around the world, it has to travel. So once you fold it, not going to work, right? So some things that I learned thus far, and I mean, this is work that I had done over the summer, so I haven't actually formalized it and put it to a paper yet. So forgive me if it's rough. As I mentioned before, power isn't well understood, even if a board fixes it. So the board works really well for power, but this still isn't a way for me to communicate and express to people the fact that, you know, this isn't going to work for like 1,000 lights, maybe 300, right? But for designers, it's still a foreign concept. So I think there has to be a way to introduce the idea of power earlier in the process of design. Wearable challenges are a limitation. So even though we've designed boards, even though we have batteries and stuff, they're still not really ideal for fashion tech, right? They need to be bendable. They need to be flexible. Every component from the wire to the board itself should be considered in the design. And even when you're wearing it, that's something we don't think about very often in fashion tech. So what I mean by that is the designer will come up with a piece. It will be great. And then the tech comes in, right? You're placing the battery. Then you're putting in the lights. It's not with it, it's after the fact, right? And this still goes on all the time. Programming is still very difficult. So in the case of, you know, Lauren and Ashley and even the Table 6 girls that I mentioned, we're giving them templates of code, which is fine, but the minute they want to do something complicated, then we get called in. And most of the time it's really basic stuff, but it's stuff that we can simplify much, much easier for them. And MakeCode actually is interesting because Lauren and Ashley had done a lot of Scratch-based stuff before, and I've seen them use it when they're designing stuff and programming in general. So that's kind of where I got the idea of actually using MakeCode and drag-and-drop sort of programming to actually improve the fashion tech side. There are some designers who are really experienced with tech and come up with different ways of doing stuff. So one of them came up with an LED strip where you can actually sew into a sewing machine. So you can feed in the LED strip, and it has a little side thing where you can actually sew it in. Some of them have actually done their own electronics. So one of the problems with movement in fashion tech is it's very hard to move it, especially if it's with robotics. So you typically want to use something like muscle wire. But muscle wire isn't very reliable. because of the current and stuff. So some of them have actually created their own sort of muscle wire techniques and boards for that. Also, age and experience doesn't really matter. As you've seen, there's young girls doing it. There's older women doing it. And it doesn't really matter what your design experience is. Even on my end, I was never a fashion person at all. But now I'm actually doing it, so it's fine. Culture plays a big role in design. In the case of the native piece that you saw, or even Kelly's piece with the wedding dress, it plays a huge role in how you're designing things. And in the case of Angel, you saw how that actually influenced the fundamental part of a board. And as I mentioned before, technology, I think, is actually too late in the design process. It needs to be way, way earlier, or even removed in general. Right. So potential solutions. So I think hardware and tools that are closer to the design side, so actually moving the tech from the end to the beginning. So that might be an IDE that integrates in the concept of power, concept of sensors right off the bat before they even program anything, right? Block-based programming, I think, is actually a really good solution, just because, like, I've seen the usage with kids. So, and also fashion with the tech, which I mean by fashion and the tech at the beginning. So where I am right now, I'm trying to build modular, basically software and hardware for fashion tech. So think of like Lego, but for fashion tech, where you can plug and play things and different components. That's from the hardware and the software. I actually started a not-for-profit called SOFI, which means Stories of Fashion Inclusion Empowerment. And the idea is that I take a lot of this modular stuff and put it into the not-for-profit. So because I've seen such a change in the women who don't have a tech background or tech experience, you know, what I've seen with Angel, you can actually use fashion tech to sort of empower people, and especially women. And so that's the concept behind SOFI. And then a fashion tech kit for Steam, which I'm working on, hopefully comes out on Kickstarter next month. Questions? That's it for me.
What do you mean by tech is too late to design?
So what I mean by that is, so the typical design process is designer comes up with a sketch, then they're doing their pattern drafting, then they cut everything out, they sew everything together, and then the tech comes in, right? So they don't actually consider where the battery is placed, what the lights look like, et cetera, et cetera. So a potential solution to that is actually putting in components in the pattern drafting stage. So you're putting in where the battery is placed, you know what size it's going to be, you know what size the LED strip is going to be, how long it's going to be, all that kind of stuff. You're putting it in at the beginning. And then having as well some tools where you can preview what your piece looks like before you actually cut it out. Right. Like, you already have the sketch. You already have, you know, what the pattern's roughly going to be. Maybe place in a battery and lights and see what it looks like. Right.
Where are the specs of the hardware? Like, what is the processor? What is the?
It's an ATmega 32U that we're using right now.
Okay.
32K of RAM.
And how did you solve the power issues if you had more?
Actually, we're using USB-C, which seems to work really, really well for throughput of the lights. But it only solves the issue of power in the sense that it can power lots of lights, but it still doesn't solve the fact that people don't understand you can't connect.
You don't want to turn on 500 lights.
Yeah. So, and usually the hack is like you lower the brightness or something. It's like, oh yeah, it works, but not really.
You talk about sort of focusing on this haute couture and doing these amazing things like the bloom dress, and then you also talk about like making it more accessible for like kids and making it easier. When you look at these two ends of the spectrum, like, how are you thinking about splitting your focus here?
So the way I look at it is, if I lower it, basically it's like, if kids can do it, anybody can do it. Right? That's basically my concept. In terms of STEM stuff, I think it's a really good way to introduce STEAM concepts to basically kids and everyone in general. And I don't think it's that much of a step up to actually do design as well. Because eventually, if the components are the same, you're just changing the software and the UX and changing the language that people are using it in. So that's kind of why I started with the Steam idea, because it's easier for me to, I basically have, it's easier for me to access that right now than it is the crazy hire and couture stuff.
So right now, almost everything's light-based. You showed a few things, a drone and the screens.
Yep.
What other things have you seen that aren't light-based?
Usually the lights are a means of expressing the piece, but usually there's something like an accelerometer, which in the case of the native piece, she's dancing, and so the accelerometer sort of inspires how the lights move or expressed. There's another one that I didn't show with a violinist, and so we basically placed a sound sensor and an accelerometer on her violin, and so the more she plays, the more the stars light up on her piece. So usually we're using the sensor to basically tell the story. That's like the brains, basically, and then the lights are the expression. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I'm just really curious to watch how, like, right now we're still in the early stages, and the early stages is the lights.
Yeah.
I want to see what's going to happen next. Like, more motion is probably what I can guess would be some of the next steps.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of why like the board is just focused on power and lights. That seems to be the biggest issue is, can I turn a light on and can I make it show pink, right? Like, that seems to be hard for lots of people. So if we solve that stuff, then I think we can actually do the more crazy expressive things with motion and stuff like that.
So what about color matching of the lights to the fabric and the fashions? How much tuning goes on there?
A lot more than I would like to admit.
Mm-hmm.
Color is... Because designers think in terms of color palettes,
yeah, mm-hmm.
and things like that, not RGB
right.
variables in Arduino. So usually there's a lot of work that we have to do to make it easy for them to do that stuff. So that's an area that definitely needs to be improved.
So how do you correlate multiple sensor data into a color scheme? So, and you're not a coder, so that's where you come in?
That's where I come in, unfortunately. Yep.
Okay.
But this is what I mean. Like, it's for us, it's not very hard to do that
yeah.
stuff. But for them, it's pretty easy. Mm-hmm. You just modularize it and give them an easy way to do it.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that one of the designers came up with their own muscle wire. Can you talk more about that?
I can send you an email about it if you like.
I would love that.
I don't know too much about it because she was working on it at the same time that we were working on our board, but she basically came up with a different way, like an easier way of putting power into the wire to make it easier to bend, which seems to be good.
Did you come up with any unique connections when you were putting this stuff together? Because I find that's one of the most difficult things is making everything connected correctly.
In terms of?
Unique ways to connect things. I know you talked about your beading
yeah.
being one way of doing it.
I'm
assuming that's why there's
yeah.
the holes in the board.
Yeah, so I can show the board for a second. Yeah, so we basically put in sewing holes along the top and underneath. And then because of the beading technique, it basically loops through and it becomes really easy to solder. So you just loop it through and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, depending on how you're soldering. So this helped people solder much, much easier than before if you're used to soldering. The other thing it does with power, we switched it to USB-C, so it does way more lights.
Mm-hmm.
One of the issues with the board you're seeing right now, especially with connectors such as these, is that, yeah, they work fine, and they power things great, but if they're in fabric, they tear,
mm-hmm.
especially if they move, someone moves. So we're thinking of actually switching
to... They tear the fabric.
They tear the fabric,
uh-huh.
yeah.
Oh.
So they tear the fabric, or they get caught in something, and so when someone moves their arm, and then it just breaks, and then you're stuck.
Right.
So we're thinking of actually switching to headphone jacks, which
oh.
really makes sense, right? Because then it's just plug and play, and then if it breaks off, you plug it back in.
Mm.
Then you wrap it with the fabric, and you can sew, and you feed it through. And then your problem solved.
There's a company for the microbit that did a whole kit around jack connectors.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out.
So, typical electronic kits, but they're all using jack connectors.
Yeah, it seems to work pretty well. Some other issues that we've had that's typical to Arduino things is, so let's say your piece works great, it's on the runway, and a light stops working. How do you debug it?
Yeah.
You have to take everything apart. And cut a wire
like solder together.
Yep,
yeah.
and it's just a mess.
It's embedded. It's embedded computing.
Yep,
so
literally.
It's been really embedded and yeah, it's
yep.
big. The debugging must be just a nightmare.
And then yeah, and then sometimes you're not sure if it's the programming that's the problem or it's the hardware. Right.
Hardware.
So
do you have a single board per dress or you have like...
See, it really depends on the piece, right? So sometimes you want to do something where there's something up here and there's something on the piece itself, and you might want to use Bluetooth or something. The issue with Bluetooth is that in a runway environment, it's super noisy,
mm-hmm.
especially with Wi-Fi as well. It doesn't usually work very well. So sometimes we have multiple boards with I2C connecting them, but it's not very common.
You were saying that the NRF Nordic has an Ant
yeah.
Plus, which works better?
Yep. I think... You don't really see it in some of the other pieces I showed, but... In these ones... all the pieces in the first Make Fashion show that I did in Shenzhen, we were using the NRF chip, which is basically like Ant Plus.
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar to Bluetooth. And each...
That's proprietary Nordic protocol? Or?
Yep, I believe.
Yeah.
But each piece had its own sort of color trigger, so these lamps would basically change color according to the piece that rocked on the runway.
Oh, cool.
Oh, nice.
So that's where I basically learned that that might actually be a better solution than Bluetooth or Wi-Fi. And I've tried it in noisy environments, and it seems to work really well. The issue with the NRF stuff is that it's basically inaccessible to most the average developer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm the only one that knows how to use that thing, and even then, I'm still not.
How much amp can you pipe for this?
I haven't tried the max.
So you have 500 lights times 60.
So I've tried USB-C battery, I think 10.5, 10,500, and then 266 lights at full brightness, white, and no problem.
Mm.
So for now, it's not bad.
So another challenge is
on this side.
These right now, these hook to garments are not going to probably be washed or very dirty.
Yep. Yep.
How is that problem going to be solved in the future when we're trying to make this more daily use, or, you know,
that is
undo everything? Just
that is a very good question. So actually, this is where the modularity comes into play. So I think for the pieces this year moving forward, we're actually going to do two layered pieces. So one layer that has just the lights and the fabric, or the lights and the battery and all that stuff. It's basically a second layer that you then sew on to the fabric itself. So basically modularizing the tech and the actual fashion, the garment itself. That's one of the main problems right now with about this.
Have you done any experimentation with conductive fabric?
Yeah, we have. It just doesn't work very well for this stuff. I mean, it works fine if you're doing something like, you know, you touch your shoulder and something lights up here, but traveling across a piece is just, it's not good. We stay away from that as much as we can.
Where are, like, the major designers at with this stuff? Is anybody Gucci or Prada, like, doing anything or investing in?
No, it's a very, very, very small community right now, just... Because I think tech is inaccessible, so most people just stay away from it. I sat in a meeting with someone who used to run IDEO, and they were talking about wearable tech and some of the challenges they had. And one of the things that struck me was the fact that he was like, well, you know, Nike can come up with a new shoe or a new jacket that's wearable, but the minute they do, they're becoming a tech company. Right, and they just stay away from that, right? Because they don't want to worry about, like, customer support issues with battery life and lights and stuff like that. So it's just... Even the basic framework stuff is not there for them to even take that step. I mean, yeah, Google's trying it, but even then, like, that's a tech company. It's not a fashion company. It's easy to do it with a watch because it's a screen and you can support that stuff. But the minute it's in fabric where someone's washing it, you can't guarantee the same, you know, washer and dryer. You can't guarantee the same conditions of what's washing it and all that stuff. It's just, it's not there yet.
You think it will be easy for them to pivot or adapt? It's going to have to be a separate player.
I think it's... probably 5 to 10 years away from being that. But then some company will come up with some framework that can do everything magically, and then we're good, I think.
Any other questions?
What are you going to be for Halloween this year?
I don't know, actually.
Okay, with that, let's thank Teddy again.